Reading 9, Chapter 34, Show of Strength, My First Engagement. Going on column, the operation was as stylized as Kabuki theater. The motive, show the flag, flaunt the might of Britain's face to the Pathans. The performers, officers and troops, headed the column brandishing props, flags and weapons. Stagehands followed, bearers for officers' personal care. Histies, the water carriers, sweepers, cooks from Goa, dobby wallers for laundry, and backstage trailed a horde of camp followers to erect tents, unload furniture, bathtubs, even wood-burning stoves each sundown at ceasefire. Pre-sherry dinner appeared on Camp Silver Salver, dinner on regimental china. Tin mugs and enamel plates would have done just as well, but sahibs roughing it? Unconscionable to those who served us. Not in the army per se. Camp followers still earn frontier medals, same as troops if caught in enemy fire. No surprise the column avoided overnight stops, snipers pot shots apart. Setting camp was a business I feared, unless the site had been previously used. The troops had to hack through bedrock to gather stones enough to build sangars. Men, mules, cannon, ammunition, tents, food, all to be unloaded, secured, and readied, without mechanical transport of any kind. Often the sky was brightening by the time things were squared away. The show began. The brigade commander, heading the column, raised his baton. Poised. 3, 2, 1, action! The brigade commander indicated sites, a hill, a promontory, a nullah. He wanted secured. He waved his pointer, sent a group of picket troops scurrying up the rocky terrain, quickly gathering loose rocks. In minutes, they'd constructed primitive low-walled circles, sangars. Crouched safely inside, they covered the advancing columns. A man popped up briefly, waved a red flag, signaled, "Abandon picket!" At which picket troops sprang from cover, raced to build and occupy another low sangar, simultaneously firing pot shots to deter Pathan snipers from firing at the column's retreating back. Leapfrogging in and out as the rear guard pickets abandoned one sangar, the advancing Pathan tribesmen commandeered it. Jump! Thud, occupy, vacate, in, out, in, from one to the next. Pathans and our Gurkha troops hopped to each in turn. Once safely beyond Pathan range, our signaller semaphored the artillery battery in Landi Khana below for cannon backup. Part game, part in earnest, going on column was a performance we looked forward to playing. Punitive column I dreaded. Soon after my arrival on the frontier, I was ordered on such. On it, I first saw the brutal way we British dealt with defiance. I knew then why they wanted us out. Our company was ordered on punitive column by the chief political agent in Peshawar to deal with what he called those damned confounded troublemakers, tribesmen who refused to cough up the 500 rifles fined for having fired on an up train travelling toward the Khyber Pass. Our orders? Fine, confiscate all rifles. If they persist, burn the Malik's village. Under the watchful eye of the political agent, a mandatory observer representing the Foreign Political Service, we surrounded and stormed the village at dawn and confiscated every weapon. Ignoring their sobbing pleas, we herded women and screaming children from their homes. Done, the sappers advanced. Their orders? Blow up the buildings, the village watchtower included. Their only means of defense destroyed, the villagers had no place to barricade themselves from marauding tribesmen bent on rape and pillage. Sickened, my lip quivered. I'd taken part. Bastard, my mind screamed. Unnecessary cruelty. And in the name of justice. The Malik, the headman, put up no resistance. His glowering face, however, plainly displayed his hatred and resentment. Villagers hurled stones along with curses. That was the limit of their opposition. Then, I should have guessed. "Splendid job, men! Our commander beamed, smug. It was time to head back to camp. The column withdrew, wended slowly back to base, every hill and hillock en route pre-cleared by the advance guard of picket troops. Brigade commander, in his PA watchdog, led the way. The main brigade of Royal Artillery and sappers followed. Behind them, under Major Tuck, our company and rearguard, then last of all came Talos Charlie, bearing a large red flag. Showers of sniper fire slowed our progress. I saw a bullet rip through a man's leg. I saw a man fall. Though we suffered minor casualties, the long, snaking column pushed forward, thinning to single file along a narrow, tortuous path between two hills. A heavy hailstorm of bullets rained down on our left flank from the stony hills, drawing our counterfire. My attention was momentarily diverted. As I aimed my rifle left, a group of Lashkars, righteous, sword-flourishing Pathans, leapt from a side nullah on the right, charging directly at us in the rear guard, screaming, "Kill! Kill! Allah Akbar! Kill the infidel Firinjis! God is great!" Hand to hand, life-and-death combat was nothing I'd ever trained for. "Fire!" Colonel Tuck ordered counterattack. But the Lashkars were too close upon us. Rifles were useless. Kukris and pistols in hand, we swiped at our attackers. Curved blades flashing, pistols brandishing, we parried and charged. I have little recollection of the wildly disordered skirmish beyond the splash and the smell of blood. Colonel Tuck's tactics had our attackers fleeing with their dead and casualties as suddenly as they'd stormed us. Over and over again on the long march back to camp, I replayed what I remembered. Zing, fuck! A bullet hitting a rock. Brown faces contorted, discolored teeth bared, the surprising green of Alaska's eyes, clouds of stinging dust. My company Subedar Major assured me I led the charge like a boy's own hero and fired my Webley pistol 3 times. "Performed very well, sir." He couldn't be sure if I actually had scored a hit, but I'd survived my first engagement. My initiation encounter. For the fallen, both dead and wounded, it was a race to reach them before the poor buggers were castrated and their genitals stuffed dangling from their mouths. Tribeswomen as well as knife-wielding tribesmen vied for these gruesome trophies. Policy was never leave one of our own behind. The return to Landi Kana blurs. No memory left whether we fell under further fire. Some casualties were sustained, I know, and one fatality. And we sat for dinner in the starlight. So late. Laughter jerked me awake, my head inches from hitting my soup bowl. I flopped onto my bunk, unwashed, and awoke, fully clothed.